שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים
אלינו. Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show, Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman.
שלום, יעל שדראל.
Hello to all.
Hello, Yael. Hello. And today we would like to talk to Dr. Lightman about communication within the family between parents and younger children up to the age of 10. Suppose we know anyone who has children that these are critical ages where the communication that we have with our children at that time influences them further in life and also us. And we'll try to learn a few interesting new things. Be with us. Yael, please. So today we'd really like to focus on the nucleus family, where there are children from the ages of 3 through 5, 8, for example, and the communication with the parents is, we as parents, we feel great responsibility. It's an age during which the child is truly formed. And first of all, we don't understand. What does he understand at what age? So we don't know what to tell him. What messages can we convey and when and what to say and how? And the other thing is that eventually we want to build a human being. And on this show, we'd like to talk about a person who knows how to have proper communication, both inside the family and later on outside of the family. Because the family is only a kind of incubator from which he later on comes out into life. And we'd like to learn about the communication aspect between parents and children at these ages. And before we begin, we'd like to look at things a bit more broadly in terms of what should be the inner approach of a parent toward the child. Why am I the parent of these children? What is the meaning of the connection between us, parents and children? This on the broader level before we turn to the more practical communication, if you can give us a broader outlook.
You have to guide me a little more precisely.
What should be a parent's inner approach, attitude toward his child? Why am I his child? What is my role in this?
You need to form him, to shape him in life, to format him. You have to position him into a direction that you think is correct. Who else other than you chooses in such ages the path, the direction for the child? How much he progresses, to which direction, what will come out of it? You even think what comes out of it, what profession, what is the image that he's going to have when he grows up? And according to that, even though you're not very conscious of it, you face him towards that image. You direct him, you push him towards that.
And what is the connection, the meaning of the connection between us?
That you obligate him, the child, to make several steps towards that direction that you think he should advance to.
So this happens through our connection, meaning it's eventually my way to shape him and format him, as you said, into who I think he should be. And what is the right kind of connection between a parent and their child?
The right form between friends and parents and children. But friends can be, in many cases, more beneficial. The child will hear more if we relate to him as his friends.
When you're saying parents and children, you mean more in the way of hierarchy. And this kind of attitude of friendship towards the child, from what age?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you see that you can influence him better, for him to feel in you a friend, then it's more beneficial to be a friend.
Are there children that it's hard to influence them as a friend, but only hierarchy can help?
Depends on the personality of the child and the general atmosphere in the family. But we have to use both.
What's the proper atmosphere that we should create in the family in order to be a cell that correctly raises our children?
We have to understand, and here is the challenge, a big challenge. When do we relate that when we are equal or lower than the child, or when we are higher than him, bigger than him? All of these options have a place.
And a parent actually has to control all these options and to know when to do what.
And of course, we have to teach the parent to be a parent.
Maybe you can explain in a few words about each of these levels. You said that we have to know when to relate to the child as though we're under him and he's above us, when at the same, on the same level, and when are we above him? If you can elaborate.
It depends on the ages. But in those ages of 0 to 10 until 10, there is such wide gaps here between the outlooks on the child and his grasp, his attitude and relation.
Even without specifically relating to a certain age, but even before, I, as a parent, direct me. When I look, I have children. I start raising them. A few words about the three different types of attitude. Can you elaborate a bit? You said that sometimes I have to relate to the child as though I'm under him, beneath him. Sometimes we're on the same level, and sometimes I'm above.
It seems to me like it's obvious. If I am, if I am like a friend with a child, then I have to pay attention more about how much we are in common play, in conversation, in mutual understanding. If I'm above him, then I'm more directive, I'm more pressing, and he needs to understand and know how to receive this from me. That he would have later an opportunity to accept such position from somebody else. And I'm giving the child an opportunity to direct me, to play with me, to lead, and I'm following after him. All of these situations we have to mix up depending on the situation. But the child needs to understand that there is place for such relations.
And what does that build in a child, these three forms?
He understands relations, human relations better. He finds in himself room to adjust himself properly, how to relate to others accordingly. And it gives him a wide range of development.
I understand he's just a result, but I, as a parent, is it important for me to be flexible and dynamic?
Yes, of course, of course. Mothers are more successful in that because they have flexibility and inner preparedness, because for them, the child is their prize, and they're willing to do, to position themselves on the side for the child.
And what about us?
And for us, it's more challenging. We aren't as flexible, and we don't really want it and need it. To begin with, we have an approach, almost like a military approach, so to speak. And it isn't always good, although without it, we also can't
So you're saying that a man is more inclined to look at things at the child from above and is less inclined toward being a friend and less in the direction of the child teaching him what's right. But these three are significant, these three states.
There is a great importance, and men aren't as flexible.
I want to ask why am I the father of this specific child?
That you need to understand the root of your soul and what corrections you need to make in your life. And part of your corrections, they are passed on to the child.
So this relationship is actually a kind of means for correction?
For the correction of the soul.
For both sides.
Meaning, yes.
The child being my father or daughter, my son or daughter, it's not just by chance.
No, no, no. There is no chance here at all. It's a continuation of the souls.
Is there an advantage? We talked about these three states of above, equality, and from under, from below. Can you describe situations where it is more correct to use one or the other? Why am I asking? Because there are people that really, they're just in one position. Either they relate to their child as their friend, and then the child lacks the other types of attitude, or there's no hierarchy, and then something else is lacking. I'm not familiar with someone who only learns from his child, but you know, usually we're either here or there, but we should use all three. So if you can focus us, in what states should parents relate in one way and in what states another?
I don't think there is an opportunity to guide a person, either a man or a woman. It's one. Rather, if we understand what is in front of us, how much we want to see the child successful, we can always depict before us what is missing that we can give him in every moment towards his development. And I don't think that we would be wrong if we balance ourselves correctly with love and responsibility and understanding of where we are in relation to the care for the child.
You say that if we want to see a successful child and we'll envision every moment out of love and responsibility what's lacking, we'll know what attitude to choose, above, equal, or below. Now, a successful child, I understand that that's the goal in light of which I have to, toward which I have to measure every time my attitude. An image of a successful child, what is that? How do I depict that? Every child's different, but still, there's probably some kind of prototype of a successful child. What is it?
It's a balanced child. That doesn't break into bad or good, who understands where he is. Maybe he seems a little more mature than his age. But it is from the habit that this is how he relates to life and feels life that influences him. And he has this constant communication between him and life. And we see such children that they are a little more secluded. They seclude themselves from others. Not necessarily in play or in the classroom, but they have something that they are a little bit more, they're more different. They're a little more mature than other children.
And don't you kind of lose your childhood in that?
No. There is nothing to fear of that.
I'd like to raise a few more questions we got from our online viewers. The first question is, why is it important to give the child the opportunity to teach the parent in relation to this attitude that sometimes I have to be under him and to allow him to teach me? Will it not cause the loss of my authority as a parent?
It's possible that it won't. I need to explain to him that there are such situations in life in which I don't understand them. I'm not familiar with them, and I'm not afraid to explain this to the child that I am not familiar with these situations. It is not my profession. I feel myself weak in that. However, I explain it to him in such a way that there is no deficiency in that, no deficit, that in his life will also be a lot of situations that he will not be able to be a champion in all of the different sports. It's clear. However, each in his place, however much he needs for life, to be confident in what he does, to defend himself, to receive his proper place in life, in society.
That's beautiful. You just said that when I relate to him in a certain way, I have to take into account that I'm teaching him what is he going to stumble upon in life that sometimes he won't know and understand and be the smartest. So can we say that it's a general principle that when I relate to my child, I have to take into account that now I'm building in him his future attitude and approaches to life?
Yeah.
What do you do with this responsibility that you're like putting on my shoulders some heavy weight? I have to all the time, it should be like here at the back of my head all the time, that the way I relate to him, I shape him, I this, I that. Meaning, to be a parent.
Aha. No, sof, sof.
Ah, no, finally.
Another question about being friends. The first approach you describe was being friends. What does it mean to be like friends? What is that like?
It is for the child to feel that you are doing this, whatever it may be, for his benefit. Even when you press on him and obligate him, it's for his benefit. You even need to tell him in a clear fashion that I am really sorry that I have to press on you and demand of you, but you have to reach this and that.
It's really important what you're saying now, because the child's initial instinct is, if he feels that it's inconvenient or something that he doesn't want to do, then the feeling is that it's against him and not to his benefit. So one way is to say that, even though that it seems to you like this and like that, you should know that really I'm doing it to your benefit. Are there other ways by which I can cause him to feel that I'm really in his favor always?
Well, we have to explain that this is the world and this is our life. All in all, I'm teaching him how to be more prepared for all of those stresses and relations that he will have in life.
From what age can a child understand that?
I believe from a fairly young age, from the age of 5 at least, they remember things.
Another question. You said that it's very important to give him an example of how to overcome my pride, how to get help from someone, how to cooperate. This guidance, it's really critical for his ability to communicate in the future with the people around him.
Yeah, let's say, how do I say, let's see, that I speak in the presence of my child that I have to meet with someone, and I can say that how challenging it is for me to speak to him, how I can't stand that person, and along with it, I prepare myself correctly to speak kindly to this person, to try to be correct.
You're really exposing him to your inner world, all the contemplations that you have.
All of the education is only from example. Only from example.
Is it important for him to also come with me to different places, to see me relating, interacting with other people, not only in the family?
It's good for a child, depending on what age, but I think from 6, 7, it's very beneficial.
One more thing. You said that even when I have to relate to the child in some more rigid way, I have to be a bit tougher. I have to explain that it's to your benefit. I'm sorry, but I have no other choice. This is to your benefit. So the question is, even though that I tell him that it's to his benefit, he doesn't accept it. As a parent, what am I supposed to do about it?
So I show him how much I'm sorry together with him, that I'm also in the same stress and pressure and the same situation as he is. And even I tell him, I don't know how you will be able to overcome that. In my eyes, it's very challenging. But if you're able to overcome this, you will be a hero. Meaning that I in advance tell him that it's not a simple thing, and maybe he will not be successful. And that's why I only give him the opportunity. Try. If it really is within reach, and if you're successful, it will open before you gates.
When you were talking, I got this feeling that whenever you turn to your child, you leave lots of room for him.
Yes, of course. I don't press on him and try to mold him into anything that I do. I give him the opportunity to exist in such a way and build himself.
Even when you're in this attitude of from above down?
In the attitude from above downwards, I explain it to him as well, but I also say that there are such things in life that we have to accept without any choice. And it's not my attitude that comes from above down to him, but these are the rules of the society. Such the upper force, let's say, that it obligates, however it obligates us, we have to receive it.
Every word that you say increases this feeling in me that what we started out with is communication, the family with children. When there's communication, there are two sides, you and me, and the communication between us. And the more we talk, I feel that you're taking me, the parent, and the child, and you're moving us to the same side. We're together. It's not that I'm communicating with you in one way or another, but together we're going through something from which both of us are learning and are developing. That's how it is.
That's very true. I don't position myself against him. The opposite. We are together.
It sounds
beautiful. And I'd like to give a short example. You know, it's evening, you have to shower, organize themselves for the next day. And it's like one of the things that you have to do. You can't choose. You have to get to school the next day and you have to leave at a certain time. So how do you correctly deal with the child's resistance to leave home? And I'm in a rush. I have to get to work. And he doesn't want to get up. What do I do? How to still be on the same side where... just by talking about the situation, I feel on opposed sides.
That he has to leave together with you?
Yeah, he has to get to kindergarten, for example. I have to get to work.
So he has to be prepared.
Right.
So he has clothes that he has to wear. He has a big clock that he sees that presses on him and that he knows what time he has to leave. He understands the time and is familiar with the time, yes?
And
what happens?
Well, you know, suddenly I don't feel like it, he says, or there's something that catches his attention, he wants to continue playing. Also, for me it's hard to leave on time in the morning, but as an adult, I make all the efforts to do it. But he has a smaller responsibility than I do. So how do I force him when he doesn't want to come? How do I even make him my partner in this? Because in many families, it's a point of, it's material for a fight, and you leave all edgy.
We have to do exercises in which we learn how every minute in the morning, we go through like soldiers. In that minute, I get dressed. In that minute, I am already putting my shoes on. In this minute, I'm done with the bathroom. In this minute here, I put together my backpack. All of this according to the minutes. And the minute before we have agreed, I already stand before the door and wait for mom.
So we have to agree on it in advance. We have to exercise, prepare ourselves for it.
The child needs to understand and know that 5 minutes before leaving the house, he understands the clock and he yells for mom, "Mom, we are leaving in 5 minutes."
It's possible
for him to know that he's responsible, otherwise mom would not be able to leave on time.
So to pass the responsibility on to him.
Of course, so that a minute before leaving, he feels himself as a master.
That's beautiful. Unfortunately, our time's up, but what should we keep in mind so that the communication with our children will be great?
To do with him the entire program, the plan, in cooperation, so that through cooperation he understands that this is how life is built, and precisely through that we are successful.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.